Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, respected listeners of Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah. We welcome our guest on this particular program and other programs Mufti Saab does in the morning as well. There is Mufti Muhammad Akur Saab, Hafidhahullah. Let's welcome Mufti Saab. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakumullah khairan, Mawla Zaid Saab, for the opportunity.
Jazakumullah khairan for joining us. Mufti Saab, all well on your side. Where's Mufti Saab heading to?
Allah's mercy, you know, alhamdulillah, we are well here. We've got beautiful Jamaat coming to our area from Middleburg. There was a Jamaat here from Hilal. So nice to have Allah's guests around. Allah give us the opportunity to spend time in pious company.
Alhamdulillah. MashaAllah, MashaAllah. Mufti Saab, Shaban, what events, what does Mufti Saab want to highlight this in today's topic?
There's so many amazing events that happened in Shaban, because Shaban also links strongly to Ramadan. So Allahu Akbar, Shaban is to actually get us ready for Ramadan. And there's so many historical events that happened, and we just revise them and we just see, Ya Allah, you know, so much to learn from this month. One event happened. It was the sixth year after Sha'ban, after Hijrah, in the month Sha'ban. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to an area called Banul Mustaliq. The people of this area were planning to attack Medina Munawwara. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's wisdom, before people would make their move, he actually knew what to do. He analyzed the situation and he would make his move before them. So he traveled with Sahaba towards that area. But sadly, in this trip, in this journey, what happened was, Munafiqeen had joined the Muslims in this journey. And their purpose of joining the Muslims during this journey was to actually cause fitna. What they realized was, Muslims are weak, meaning on each front. And they couldn't, every time they were getting reports, they're just getting the report that Muslims were victorious, Muslims conquered, and this upset them. So this time, Bin Ubay told his cronies, we're going to go with, but internally, we're going to make sabah. And this is exactly what they tried to do. As Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam traveled, there were opportunities where this munafiqeen made trouble. Like, for example, there was an argument by a pond. And there was one Sahabi who had an affinity to the Muhajireen. He comes from Makkah. The other from Medina. Now when this argument broke out, the one said that, oh Muhajireen, come help me. The other said, oh Ansaris, come help me. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he heard of this event, he said, why are we calling the slogans of Jahiliyyah? But how is this a slogan of Jahiliyyah? This is for us to learn. When one is calling his people, the other is calling his people. What this means, being a slogan of Jahiliyyah, is that in Islam, for justice, we can't just stand by our own if they are wrong. The hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches us, stand by what is right. Stand for justice. It's not that we only stand for our own. But let's say our own is wrong. We still have to stand with the person who's oppressed. That's why there's an amazing hadith. Our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, help your brother, whether he is zalim or mazloom. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this was a jahiliyyah idiom. But in Islam, it means differently. In jahiliyyah, they would say, you stand by your man. Whether he's zalim or mazloom, you have to stand by him. But in Islam, we learn that you stand by him when he is mazloom to defend him. But you go to him when he is zalim. How do you help him, Sahaba asked. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you help him by stopping him from injustice, stopping him from zulm. That's how we help the zalim. By encouraging him that you can't make zulm. And the dangerous ramifications and repercussions of zulm. Allah Ta'ala save us. So here, this is what Rasulullah meant, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in that context. That you cannot say that because I am from this area, the people from that area must help me. Or because I have this family, my family have to help me. No, helping our family members and our people is to actually uplift them towards righteousness and justice. And imagine, this is a verses of the Quran. O people of Iman, stand up for justice. كونوا قوامين لله وشهداء لله ولو على أنفسكم testify with justice for Allah even if it is against yourself, your parents, your children. So this is one great event and a great lesson we learned from here. And Muslims went. When they get to that area, subhanAllah, Allah gave the Sahaba victory. Easy victory. Even though the enemy was quite formidable, but Allah put fear in them. And then there were many captives distributed amongst the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. One of the on that occasion, our beloved sallallahu alaihi wasallam wedded Hazrat Juwayriyah radiallahu anha. And when this nikah took place, the Sahaba showed so much of respect to their captives that they freed them. So these captives were so amazed that the norm in war is not this. First of all, they treat us so nicely here because our leader's daughter wedded the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They all liberate us. So much of respect for the Prophet's wife. And subhanAllah, on this occasion, more than 100 families came into Islam due to the nikah of Janab Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with Hazrat Juwayriyah radiallahu anha. And alhamdulillah, when they were returning from that journey, on the way, there was an event where there wasn't water. And subhanAllah, it's quite a lengthy event. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha. It has to do with Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha. So the announcement was made that we're all going to be departing. Everyone would have to leave. And this was the time allocated. So the announcement is made and then there's a little while for everyone to embark. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha realized that she relieved herself, but the necklace that she was wearing that had belonged to her sister is no longer with her. So she went back to where she had went first to find the necklace. And now she was worried because it wasn't hers. When she went back to bring the necklace, and now she returned, everyone had departed. The few who were responsible to pick up the hodaj is this structure that sits or is tied on the back of the camel where the masturat are covered in parda inside that the little hodaj litter or structure. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha was light according to this hadith, so they didn't realize, and few of them were picking it up, that she wasn't inside. Now she's there and there's no one there on the camp. Everyone had departed. Instead of her going helter-skelter, she realized that what she's going to do is she's going to wait there, because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will look for her at the last point where he saw her. If she goes in one direction, what if the Sahaba went into another direction? What if Rasulullah went into another direction? So she waited there. And there was another Sahabi, Safwan bin Mu'attal, radiallahu anhu. He was designated to actually travel one leg behind the Muslims to see if anything important is forgotten, anything pertinent is left behind, anyone got lost. So some hours later, when he passed that route, he sees Hazrat Aisha, and she was asleep, and she was on the ground. The only word he said was, subhanAllah, shocking. What happened here? Ra'inatu Rasulillah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Mubarak wife. That's all he said. He then got off his conveyance, he knelt it down, he went aside, allowing her privacy to get on, and then he walked next to the ahead of the camel, taking her radiallahu anhuma towards where Sahaba radiallahu anhuma directed, because he knows the entire route. But when they get to the camp where Sahaba had reached in the next leg of the journey, and it was like normal, but Abdullah bin Ubay was his name, who was looking for these opportunities to cause trouble. What he did was, he now saw this, and he started talking to his friends and cronies, the few that were close to him, that he brought on this journey to help him in this sinister plan to make trouble and cause the cleave to the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He found something to breed on, something that is not true, but he could use as a starting point to arouse and bring about trouble. Allah save us from having such a nature. SubhanAllah, we learn from the life of Sahaba radiallahu anhu. Hazrat Umar used to make dua, O Allah, my men are gone in the path of Allah to teach your deen, striving for you as governors in different areas. La tukhayyib dhanni fi. O Allah, don't dash my hopes about my Sati. Let it not be that what people are saying about him is true. Let it be not true. Defend my Sati. The amazing Sahaba radiallahu anhum didn't want the lives of people to be true concerning each other. So we learned this was their clean-heartedness. Even if some rumors were spread, Hazrat Umar is making dua. Oh Allah, let it not be true. Defend my Sati. And then when he verified the issue, it was lies against Umar bin Sa'd radiallahu anhu. Hazrat Umar made so much of shukr that his Sati is as he was, and he hasn't fallen to the fitna. But this is the amazing temperament. But if anything we hear about each other or about another Muslim, we should hope that it's not true, and that Allah Ta'ala defend the ummah of his beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the best temperament to have. But we shouldn't want bad to spread about people, wrong about people or bad about people. In this, bin Ubay is spreading this rumor, and he's adding to it, and he's adding to the narration, and he's making it quite a captivating story, like how people of fitna do. And in this, when he did this, then what happened thereafter was Sahaba radiallahu anhum was returning. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructed Sahaba to travel farther. And they moved more at shorter intervals of halting. And they carried on until they reached Medina Munawwara. In Medina Munawwara now, obviously, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, who is so innocent, she doesn't know what people are saying about her. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to come and greet her, but she felt that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was feeling some pain. She didn't know. She didn't know what was going on. But one day when she was going to relieve herself with the mother of Misbah, Ummu Misbah radiallahu anha, so Hazrat Ummu Misbah tripped. And then words came out of her mouth, damn the son of mine. So Aisha says, but how can you say that? He's a Sahabi, he's a Muslim. So the mother says, but you don't know what he's saying. No, I don't know what you're talking about. This is what they are saying, these rumors. Oh, that Aisha now got to know what they're saying about her. The way she felt so bad, Ya Allah. She says, I felt so ill and so hurt and so weak. I went home. I didn't know what to do. I needed to speak to somebody. And what the ni'mah of Allah is the mother, subhanAllah. She says, I sought Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's permission. Oh Allah, Nabi, I want to go by my mother. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave me permission. And I went. And my mother and father tried to, console me. And I was so emotional. And I wouldn't stop crying. Because what the rumors against her is obviously not true. And now people are saying this. It hurt her so much. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha. And in this, as time went on, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to see the family. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke to Hazrat Aisha that if it's true, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is forgiving. If it's not true, say, then you'll be liberated from this. Hazrat Aisha was so emotional. She said to her mother and father, you all speak to Rasulullah. SubhanAllah, Hazrat Abu Bakr refused to say anything. Now imagine Hazrat Abu Bakr loves his daughter so much, but he refused to speak. What was shocking here is why Hazrat Abu Bakr refused to speak. And this is a lesson for you and I. Imagine Hazrat Abu Bakr refused to say anything, because later on when asked, he said, I don't know the unseen. I love my daughter, and he loves his daughter more than anyone can love their daughter. This is Ummul Mu'mineen. But he said, how can I say something I don't know? I feel my daughter is innocent, but how can I speak when I don't have the knowledge of the unseen. And then his words, which sky will shelter me? أَيُّ سَمَاءٍ تُضِلُّنِي وَأَيُّ أَرْضٍ تُقِلُّنِي And which earth will contain me if I speak what I don't know? Ya Allah, why is this a lesson for you and I? Many a time, or sometimes, our children get involved in musti, in wrong, in bad company. And Allah save our children and our progeny. Allah save us. Sometimes it leads to daha and drugs. It starts from cigarettes, daha, all sorts of drugs, heavy drugs. And then we get news from somebody, hey, you know, I saw your... And sometimes Allah Ta'ala sends these alarmings from the beginning. Do you know your son was seen here or driving in that area or stopping and picking up someone? And sometimes about our daughters. And we immediately have a nature of refuting it. That never, my child, never. My brother, my sister, we are not saints. You can't expect our children to be saints that immediately they're seeing somewhere wrong, doing something wrong or something fishy. And we immediately rush to defend our children without even verifying. Allah Ta'ala brought the alarms to us, alarming bells, to actually help us in the early stages to make it right, to rescue our children. First of all, it shouldn't have been that we let our children be in bad company. What we were supposed to do was ta'aleem in our homes, attend the programs, the Shab Guzari, with our sons, with our children, our daughters, with their mothers, to go for the weekly ta'aleem, do the ta'aleem at home, go out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to learn how to be in this beautiful environment of iman. Today we've gone so far from that sometimes our children don't even want to sit for a program. No, because they feel it's old-fashioned. What have we instilled in our children? That's why we have to try. And we have to make dua. And we can't be rushed. We can't rush in defending our children without verifying. What if it's true? And then we leave the issue, and now it gets too late. Then that same child becomes, Allah forbid, a drug addict, a gangster, a murderer. But Allah Ta'ala sent the alarming bells where somebody innocently just notified us. People are so sensitive today, we're not prepared to even listen to that, and we actually think that that person is our enemy. Look at Hazrat Abu Bakr. He said, how can I speak? What knowledge of the unseen do I have? SubhanAllah, and his daughter is who she is. Ya Allah, what about you and I? This is the lesson for us. Never think our children are saints. They were not born saints. Saints became saints with great effort and very pious parents and pious du'as from pious people. Naturally, every human being is born. SubhanAllah, we're born from dirty liquids of semen. And then insan's qualities of hastiness and evil natures and anger and frustration and the challenges of today and the so many negative influences out there and the gadgets that make so many, subhanAllah, sadly, so many negative influences available. But sometimes in our own homes, what is available to our children is shocking. And parents don't even know what's going on. That's why we have to make dua. We're living in a time very near the times of Dajjal. And Allah knows best when Dajjal will come. But the signs of Qiyamah, so many that our beloved Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam warned us of, have appeared before us. SubhanAllah. Allah make it easy for the Ummah. Let's establish the halaqa of ta'aleem in our homes. Let's bring alive that ilm of deen, the love of sahaba, the love of Quran. Look at Hazrat Aisha. SubhanAllah. Then she was asked. She says, I'm not going to say. Because if I say I did it, y'all will believe that. She was so emotional. If I say I didn't do it, who will believe me? Hey, she was crying. She says, the only thing I'll say is what Abu Yusuf said. When she was narrating this hadith, she said, I was so sad. I didn't even remember the name of Abu Yusuf at that moment. Abu Yusuf is Yaqub alayhi salam. He was so emotional that he lost his children. He said, Innama ashku basi wa huzni ilallah. I only complained to Allah of my grief and my sadness. He cried to Allah. She said, I'm going to cry to Allah. Only Allah is going to help me. SubhanAllah. Imagine a little of grief and sadness. And every one of us should read this hadith of Hazrat Aisha. It is so eloquent how she explains this ordeal and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helped her. And then she says, I knew Allah is going to help me. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would be told some sign Allah was giving his beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a dream he would see. But she says, I never expected Quran to reveal chapter 24. 16 verses of this chapter, from verses 11 onward. Read the translation of these verses. Wah, 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 wah. These are verses speaking and defending our mother, Hazrat Aisha, radiallahu anha. Every one of us should read this. But imagine you get the forces of Batin, who still have the audacity to pick on Hazrat Aisha after Quran defender. What doubt do we have in such people's kufr? When they denounce Hazrat Aisha, when Quran clearly, explicitly defends her, liberates her, revolerates her, reveres her. Read these verses. There is not found any level of reprimand in the entire Quran like the level of reprimand in these verses of chapter 24, Surah An-Nur. إن الذين جاءوا بالإفك عصبة منكم لا تحسبوه شرا لكم بل هو خير لكم لكل امرئ منهم ما اكتسب من الإثم والذي تولى كبره منهم له عذاب عظيم لولا إذ سمعتموه ظن المؤمنون والمؤمنات بأنفسهم خيرا وقالوا هذا إفك مبين لولا جاءوا عليه بأربعة شهداء فإذ لم يأتوا بالشهداء فأولئك عند الله هم الكاذبون ولولا فضل الله عليكم ورحمته في الدنيا والآخرة لمسكم فيما أفضتم فيه عذاب عظيم. And the verses continue and continue, reprimanding, admonishing believers about the harms of slander and backbiting. Everyone should read the translation of these verses and the harms of causing corruption in the society and in the communities. There's so many blessings in here. But still, subhanAllah, there was this great alim, Sheikh Abu Bakr al-Baqillani, in the 5th century, a great scholar of Quran, in the miracles of the Quran. Under the Abbasid Khilafah, he traveled to the Roman lands because the Roman emperor wanted to meet a Muslim scholar. And there was a lengthy dialogue between them. Quite interesting, maybe we'll share it in the next discussion. But I want to mention one sad reality that they posed to this alim. They said, but isn't it that your prophet's wife perpetrated the crime of adultery? Ya Allah! Imagine the forces of Babel disrespect Sahaba so much that they got this information to the Romans that the Prophet ﷺ's wife did this, na'udhu billah. When the Quran reveres and liberates her, what doubt is there in such kufr? When Quran says this and they flamboyantly go against it, despicable. You look at the answer of this alim, look at wisdom, subhanAllah, Sheikh Abu Bakr. He says, that is a lie, a false allegation against our mother, Umm al-Mu'mineen Aisha radiallahu anha. But sir, respected emperor, very similar to the false allegation laid against Hazrat Maryam, the mother of Jesus Christ, Isa alayhi salam. She was also falsely accused. Both of them are free from the lies laid against them from the evil people. On the one side, it was the Jews who blamed, falsely accused Hazrat Maryam. On the other side, you know who? Those who swear Sahaba, Allah save us, and Allah save our progenies and our children. Look how he answers. He says, both were lies against both of them. But the difference is, Hazrat Maryam, our Maryam bore a child, and our mother Hazrat Aisha did not. See, he left the emperor spellbound. Allah give us tawfiq to love sahaba. It's a Friday. Recite durood upon the beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in abundance and share the deen with the world. Invite somebody to Islam. Bring somebody new to the masjid. Invite somebody and feed them for Allah's pleasure. Exhort people about Ramadan. You're sending Ramadan kajur, send a booklet with it to a non-Muslim also. Let him experience this beautiful feeling of the arrival of the beautiful sacred month of Ramadan. Wa sallallahu ala nabi al-ummi bi rahmatika.
Jazakumullah khairan Mufti Sahab for that wonderful message and standing up for the honor of Sahaba radiallahu anhu, specifically Ummul Mu'mineen. And that is what Marqa Sahaba is all about, standing up for the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. Make dua for us, Mufti Sahab. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marqa Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.